So according to the Lloyd, yeah, it is.
Lloyd.
Lloyd, of all people, Lloyd.
You know, Lloyd's a cool guy.
He is. I've always been a fan of Lloyd's. Okay. According to the Lloyd Law College, quote,
I just thought of Bob Law 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 Blog.
it's really hard to say. Just like Bob Loblaw's
Blog.
Loblog. Okay. White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood boys.
Bollywood boys who just want to marry their girlfriends.
And can't.
And can't and keep getting stopped at every turn.
Yes, we all have that issue every once in a while.
I can't tell you how many times.
No. And this one's a fun one because we're recording in person.
It is. Yeah,
for the second time ever.
Hopefully it goes as well this time as it did that time.
Yeah, feels a little weird. in a good way.
In a good way.
Yes.
And we're talking about Luca Chupi.
Yes, one of our, well, I won't speak for you, but one that I really love.
Yeah, it was an early standout for us, I feel, but I haven't watched it in like 3, 4 years. It's been a while.
Yeah, I was trying to think if this was, I think this is only the second time I've seen it.
Oh, wow.
I think. Maybe I watched it 3 times. Only second or third.
Yeah, yeah.
But what did you think this time around after a few years?
I enjoyed it still.
Me too.
It's really charming, and it's also one that I always like going back and watching some of the earlier movies we watched because I get so much more now.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to talk about these things, but just all the stuff with the, like, political party and the dad, I was like, whoa, okay, I'm picking up on a lot of dynamics that I'm sure I missed when I watched it the first time.
Yeah. And I did feel like I didn't notice all the anti-Muslim rhetoric.
That specifically, yes.
Yeah, and I was like, how did I not notice that? I mean, maybe I did and I just didn't remember it, but it's pretty noticeable.
I think there's one moment that's super obvious that I'm like, how did I not put that together? But even that moment, it's not obvious to a newbie.
I guess that's true. And it was early on.
Like, yeah. Very early very on. Very early on. But anyway, I look forward to
debriefing
about those things. Also, Kartik is adorable in this movie, as he always is.
His beard, perfect length for him.
I agree.
Also, like, his chest hair.
Mm-hmm. His facial hair, chest hair, and head hair were all the perfect length.
Exactly. All on point. Perfect, Kartik. Keep it up.
Yep.
Keep up the good
work. Keep up the good work that was 5 years ago.
I liked it. It was great.
It was great.
But yeah. Yeah, so let's talk about our cast.
Yeah.
We have Kartik Aryan, yes, as Gudu.
Mm-hmm.
Kriti Sanon.
Oh.
Perfect.
I love Kriti.
Perfection.
And I just always love Kartik and Kriti together. Yes. I feel like they have such a good, natural, comedic chemistry.
Yeah, they're a good combo. And she's playing Rashmi.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Apashakti Khurana
mm-hmm.
playing Abbas. We have Vinay Pathak as Vishnu,
mm-hmm.
leader of the Culture Protection Party.
Gross.
Yeah. And then, I don't know how, maybe I do know how I forgot that he was in it because we watched it early on and it was probably before I was a major Pankaj Tripathi fan.
Yeah.
But Pankaj Tripathi is here.
Yeah, he is.
Playing Babulal.
Another of his not so fun characters.
No, but also fun still. But like ethically not good.
Mm-hmm.
Morally bad.
Yes.
But a fun vibe.
But still, yeah. Great shirts.
Really just great outfits in general. Very flashy dresser.
Uh-huh.
I just adore him an actor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't adore the character he's playing in this movie, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm always excited to see him.
It was great.
Yeah.
And Luca Chupi was directed by Laxman Utikar.
Yeah. And it's also another Matic film,
yeah.
which I didn't realize until we started watching it. But that's how I feel like it makes sense for us to watch it during spooky season.
I think that makes sense. Yeah, it's like, and it has a similar vibe.
Sure, yeah.
Minus the spooky.
Yeah. But in a weirdly similar way, it's like if you took out the spookiness and replaced it with like a serious political issue, it would be the same.
Yeah.
The same energy.
That's so true. Yeah. Yeah. Certainly the same kind of comedy.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Are we ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Aye, aye, Captain. Okay. So, we open with an actor being accused by the media of going against family values for having a live-in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There are protests happening against him, which are encouraged by a political party called the Culture Protection Party, which states that any premarital relationship goes against India's values.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
A pretty specific faction of India, I would say.
Yeah. Hindu India.
Yeah, because this actor is Muslim.
Yes, yes. I did not... I recognized that his last name was Khan, and I didn't... Yeah.
I Googled his first name, to be sure.
Okay, yes. Well, that's also true. But yeah, huh. Had not picked up on that. That's a layer.
Yep.
Okay, noted. And a voiceover then says that with this actor fighting back and the protests against him becoming more violent... live-in relationships have become a national issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is I did learn in my research that this has happened sometimes, that, like, a celebrity would be found out to have been in something like a live-in relationship, and the nation would, like, well, again, certain parts of the nation would go crazy about it. But all of the instances that I read about that happening with were with actresses, were with women.
I was going to say, I would assume it was women.
Yeah.
So I like that the movie was, like, let's take the heat off women for once and let's put it on a man.
Yeah.
While still exposing...
the reaction, the public reaction.
Yes, yes. And, yeah, the religious undertones of that, too. But we then see Gudu, a journalist, receive an assignment to go around and gather different people's opinions on live-in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And right after he gets that assignment, the leader of the Culture Protection Party, Vishnu, enters the office and talks to Gudu's boss. And they have some, like, back and forth where Gudu's boss is like, whoa, you're doing so well politically right now. That's cool. And Vishnu credits the people like this actor for helping him thrive politically by giving him something to fight against.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Vishnu also brought his daughter with him, and her name is Rashmi, and she's going to work for this cable news channel as an intern. So she is introduced to Gudu. And she's also introduced to Abbas, the cameraman, who is Muslim. And he, obviously, Gudu shakes Vishnu's hand. Vishnu shakes Gudu's hand. Then Abbas goes to shake Vishnu's hand. Vishnu hears what Abbas's name is and turns that down.
Yep.
Which is repulsive.
It's very uncomfortable. But I do appreciate Abbas just, like, returning Vishnu's very Hindu greeting with...
Yep.
With a Muslim greeting.
Yes.
Just, it's a very, like, yep, I see what just happened here, and I'm aware.
Yes. Yeah. Poor Abbas. And I do kind of feel like later on in the movie, maybe Gudu could have, like, asked him how he feels about this.
That's true.
Treatment.
Yeah.
It's never explicitly called out. Like, obviously the movie is calling it out.
Yeah.
Kind of similarly to Bedia's, like, racist treatment.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, everyone kind of notices it.
Right. People, especially your friends, should be sticking up for you and being like, yeah, no, dude, that wasn't a cool way to treat him.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. That's just an observation.
Yeah.
But the three young people then hit the streets to ask people about their opinions on marriage and live-in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many different opinions across the spectrum. I do like the one guy who was like, as long as there's love, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a nice perspective. And there's even an old woman who advises Rashmi to truly get to know a man before she marries him. That'll come back later.
Yeah.
Really, very soon, actually. And Rashmi then asks Gudu what his opinion on the topic is. And he says that if society thinks it's best to get married before anything else, then what's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
And they both establish that they're single.
Yep.
Ooh. And we find out that Gudu is basically a super romantic, believes in love and marriage, and specifically, like, a chaste love.
Yeah.
And then marriage. And Rashmi's a little more practical, and she's worried about infatuation burning out if people marry too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. We then get a montage song that shows Rashmi and Guru developing crushes on each other.
Very cute.
It's really cute because, like, they're texting and they're giggling about what they're texting and they're dressing up for each other and they're spending a lot of time together and they're falling asleep on the phone to each other.
Yeah.
And Rashmi kisses Guru on the cheek. So they're definitely dating.
They are. I also really like the part where Guru is, like, practicing his smolder in the mirror.
Yes, yes. Because you don't necessarily think of him as a smolderer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he can.
He can, especially with a little bit of, you know, practice and build up and preparation.
Yep. Yes, yes. So practice that smolder, everyone.
Yep.
The Flynn Rider smolder. We then see Abbas congratulate Guru on his love story.
Mm-hmm.
And Guru makes it clear that he fully intends to marry Rashmi.
Yeah.
That's his plan. And then we also get a scene where Vishnu supervises the beating of a man because he was, quote, romancing in the bathroom.
Yeah. How dare he?
Yeah. So basically, Vishnu's very violent.
Yes. And also opposed to young people having frivolous times with one another.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But then, Pankaj Tripathi shows up.
He does.
Yep.
You never know where he's going to show up.
Yep. This is Babalal, and he's being goofy on the street when a passing woman catches his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes into the sari store where he's hanging out, and they have a flirty interaction where he tells her she can have a 300-rupee sari for 100 rupees.
Rude.
Yep. Guru then enters the scene to call Babalal a rascal, because it turns out that this is Guru's family sari shop, and Babalal is his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I know.
So horrible.
Yeah. I would be disappointed if this man were now a part of my family.
Yes. I would not be disappointed if Pankaj Tripathi was a part of my family.
Definitely not. And I feel like brother-in-law is a good pick for that.
Yes.
Just like my fun, cool, weird brother-in-law.
Yeah, yeah. But Babalal is not great.
No.
Babalal and Guru get into a fight in the street while this woman just steals the sari and walks away. And I'm like, good for you, woman.
Yay, shoplifting.
I mean, she had to deal with being, like, flirted with.
That's true.
And then, I mean, she did want that sari for, like, 50 rupees.
Yeah.
She's maybe not the best person.
It's like 1/6 of the price they quoted her.
But, you know, whatever. She's living her life. So later, Guru's whole family is talking about marrying him and his brother off,
mm-hmm.
and the conversation turns to the actor who had the live-in relationship, which upsets Guru's father because he believes in marriage before anything else. And then Guru and his older brother get into a fight about who will get married first. I didn't really necessarily follow every single bit of this fight, but that's the gist.
Yeah, I think just basically good to know that the brother is older.
Yes.
So he's supposed to get married first. But it also seems like he's weirdly picky about who he wants to marry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, just, you know, not saying you need to settle, but at this point, maybe you should lower your standards.
Yeah, because they've been trying to get him married a couple of times.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like you're all that special.
No, no. That night, Guru has a nightmare that his parents are going to be dead and his nephew, a child, will get married before him.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, no. All he wants is marriage, really.
Yeah.
So the next day, he goes to meet Rashmi, and he's all dressed up because he proposes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She reacts not in the way that he would want, and she asks him what he's doing, and she explains that, yes, she loves him, but love and marriage are two very different things.
Yes.
She wants to move to Delhi and get a job, and she can't just marry him on such short notice. So he offers to come with her to Delhi, but she says that she needs to get to know him better, which they can't do by continuing to meet in secret.
Mm-hmm.
So she proposes a live-in relationship,
mm-hmm.
which her father has been leading a political charge against.
Yeah.
So Guru is horrified by this, because while it's okay in the big cities like Delhi and Mumbai, it's not okay in the small cities like the one they live in, Mathura. So Rashmi asks him to give living together a try for a few days, and then she'll consider marrying him.
Mm-hmm.
Guru asks how they can pull this off when he's so recognizable from being on the news.
Yeah.
That's a nice added complication.
Yes, yeah, that was good thinking.
Yes. But Abbas has an idea. Abbas is so supportive and sweet.
He is. Throughout, he's such a good friend.
Throughout this entire film, he's just like a sweetheart. He's dealing with a lot of bigotry and hatred, and he's just like, no, I just want this couple to be happy and in love.
Yeah. He deserves all the best.
Yeah. Abbas for the win.
Yeah.
Gotta love those Karana brothers.
You really do. They're great. I mean,
seriously, yeah. But yeah, so Abbas has an idea. They're going to Gwalior to cover the election, and they can bring Rashmi with them as their intern.
Mm-hmm.
But so for the 20 days that they are there, Rashmi and Gudu can live together with no one knowing that they're not married.
Mm-hmm.
In Gwalior, they talk to a local guy about finding lodging, and he tells them that thanks to the Culture Protection Party, they won't be able to find a place to stay as a live-in relationship.
Damn Culture Protection Party.
Yeah. That name also just makes me gag.
I know.
It's bad.
It's also just, like, it's very clearly, like...
A Hindu nationalist.
It's very clearly, like, poking fun at the BJP, which I do just appreciate.
Yes. But yeah, so Gudu and Rashmi will need to pretend to be married in order to find lodging. So they do that. And this guy gets them an apartment, although he does charge them extra for not actually being married. He basically, yeah, exploits them.
Yeah.
But, you know. Whatever.
It's like they gotta bribe him to stay quiet.
Yes. And immediately after they hand over the money, a neighbor woman, who I just referred to as the nosy neighbor from here on out.
I think that's appropriate.
Yep. Comes over to check things out, and she asks them all where they're from, and they answer all different locations, which is not suspicious at all.
No.
Yeah. And then, like, they're... This is my favorite, probably my favorite scene out of the whole movie. I think it's adorable and funny, but their first night together... Gudu's very excited.
Yeah.
He's got his breast spray, and he's got, like, 10 condoms of different flavors just, like, ready to go.
Yeah. You never know what someone's preference might be.
No. Yeah. Flavors. Yeah. So Rashmi enters the bedroom in her pajamas, and she turns off the light, and Gudu's kind of like, oh, we're going to bed? Because he's like, it's so early in the night. It's 1 a.m.
Yeah.
She's like, no, it's bedtime. Let's go to sleep. He immediately asks her if she's asleep, which of course she's not because she just got into bed.
It's been 5 seconds.
Yup. And he's like kind of trying to like talk to her about this article he read about like how to have sex.
Yeah.
And he's like kind of going to touch her but not touching her. He's just hovering over her.
Yeah.
And he scooches closer. And she's just like, I'm very tired. No. And so he gives up and rolls away from her, only for her to immediately open her eyes and ask him if they have protection.
Mm-hmm.
And he very enthusiastically says, yes, they have lots of protection of various kinds. It's very cute.
It is really cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it could have been... weird with, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like written by a different person, this could have gotten creepy. But it's just very endearing, because he does, like, the minute she's like, no, he rolls away. He's disappointed, but he accepts that she doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah. He's just, like, very earnestly wants to have sex for the first time with a woman that he loves.
Yeah,
like,
who he does plan to marry. I mean,
yes. Yes.
Yeah, in this situation, that feels important to mention.
Right, Yeah, no, it's just, it's very cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they do have sex, so good for them.
Yay.
I hope they enjoyed all the flavors.
They seem pretty content, so I think they made the right choice of flavor.
The next morning, the doorbell rings, and Gudu answers it, and it's their nosy neighbor asking after Rashmi. And she tries to peek into the house, but Gudu shuts the door on her. Good on you, Gudu. Gudu then cooks breakfast for Rashmi, but it's not to her liking. And so this leads into a conversation about who will do what around the house. And it's, like, serious at first as they're dividing up chores, but then it becomes jokey because they love each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's adorable. And this leads us into a love song. And Rashmi and Gudu prance around being in love, and their nosy neighbor is just peering into the windows, watching them. And... there's also a scene where they're drinking wine together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which is very cute. But there are so many open flames. So many lit candles just, like, on the floor, yep. on, like, various surfaces.
Close to the rug, close yeah. to the couch.
Yeah, as they're getting drunk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
It's, yeah, I was like, this is just a massive fire disaster in the making.
It really is. But I do think it's important to know what kind of drunk your partner is going to be, and knowing that he's apparently a sad drunk.
That's, arguably. Yeah, he just starts crying.
Immediately starts weeping.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is good to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe don't have fire.
I think that's also a good choice.
Yeah. We then see the nosy neighbor gossiping about Gudu and Rashmi with her, like, neighborhood woman friend.
Mm-hmm.
She says that sometimes Rashmi wears the nuptial chain and sometimes she doesn't. And they were also dividing chores and running the household like children. And he was chasing her in his underwear.
What? Scandalous.
That's suspicious, because no married man does that with his wife.
No married couple enjoys frolicking about in their underwear. Yeah. Everyone knows that's for, I don't know what,
no one else. Apparently, because they don't believe in, like, live-in relationships.
Right. It's just always wrong to do that.
Yeah. That makes me sad for that woman.
I agree. Don't knock it till you try it, girl.
Frolic in your underwear. Life's too short. But, yeah, so the nosy neighbor then shows back up at their house asking Rashmi for some milk.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a ruse so that she can check things out more. And she asks Gudu and Rashmi how long they've been married. And one says 6 months, and one says 1 year.
Seriously, why didn't they work out this detail?
I can't believe they didn't figure out a backstory.
Yeah.
Like, how did you propose? Like, was it an arranged marriage? Like, yeah. Let's figure out that. And then how long you've been together. Yeah. Where did you get married?
Yeah.
Basic stuff.
Seriously. I feel like Abbas should have been on top of this. I mean, it's not all his responsibility.
No,
but
he is, he's the thinker
yes.
of the group. Yeah. But yeah, so this is a pretty clear indication that something fishy's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the neighbor says thank you and leaves, only for her to call the neighborhood women together to tell them that Gudu and Rashmi are in fact in a live-in relationship. And they should be thrown out right away.
Yeah, because, gosh, it just, like, they're criminals. How yeah. dare they love each other and want to spend time with each
yeah,
other?
Yeah, I think they said something about it, like, lowering the status or value. Like, it, yeah.
yeah.
Like, they were like, this is disgusting.
Which is interesting because no one knew about it until she told everyone. So how is that going to happen?
Right. And, like, they're both very sweet people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, gosh. Whatever. People get so offended.
They really do about stuff that's not any of their business.
Yeah. It's like, whatever. The next day, an angry mob arrives at their apartment, led by the nosy neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone files into the apartment, only to see a ton of evidence of Gudu and Rashmi's marriage.
Yep.
Yep. Like, wedding photos and things. Mostly wedding photos.
Yeah.
And they say that everyone has come on the perfect day because it's their first wedding anniversary.
Yay.
Way to go them for, like, coming up with that
yeah.
on the fly.
Yeah.
That's the only way. Yeah, I was like, well, that nosy neighbor woman is just, she was very wrong.
Yeah.
And people believed her, which makes me think they don't actually like her. And it makes me sad for that woman even more.
Yeah.
Doesn't frolic in her underpants.
I feel like if she were to frolic more in her underpants, with or without her spouse, her life would be better.
That is very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that problem solved. The angry mob is like, okay, cool, that's fine. And at the end of the 20 days, Gudu says that it was the best 20 days of his life.
Aww.
Yeah. He's a very sweet boy.
He is. He just loves this girl.
Mm-hmm. And he asks her, what's next? Rashmi is unsure, and he gets upset by that because he's worried that she'll refuse to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay because she agrees to marry him after all.
Yay.
Yeah, that happened very quickly. It was like, oh, okay, fine.
I couldn't tell if she was, like, teasing him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, great.
Yeah, that's, yep, yep. But, uh-oh. Babalal is here.
Yep.
Why?
He's everywhere.
Yeah. Because he was having a fling with a married woman.
Yeah.
What a hypocrite and a terrible person. And he sees Gudu and Rashmi hugging each other and being sweet and can see that Rashmi has, like, Vermilion and is married. And he thinks that Gudu is fooling around with a married woman. So he just decides to follow them.
Yep.
And he follows them back to their apartment, and he knocks on the door, and Rashmi answers the door, and he tries to be smooth, like, calling out Guru, but then he sees the wedding photo inside the house, and he's so confused that he runs away.
Yeah. Doesn't wait for any kind of explanation.
Yeah. And I like that Rashmi tells Guru, like, there was a guy asking for you, but then he, like, ran away. And Guru was like, well, there's only one man who fits that description, and he's not here. It's fine. But he was.
He was. And it's also, like, if you're so sure that it could only be that one guy, like,
maybe
be ready to think it was that one guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, shortly after that, Guru's entire family shows up.
Mm-hmm.
They're all upset for various reasons, but mostly because Guru eloped without telling them.
Yeah, that would be upsetting.
That is rough. Also in this scene, his nephew finds a strawberry-flavored condom
mm-hmm.
and likes the way it smells, which is kind of weird.
Like strawberries.
Yeah. Artificial strawberries.
Yeah, like yeah. candy. I don't know. I've never...
Me neither. I was like, I've never smelled a strawberry... flavored latex.
No.
I frankly don't really ever want to.
No, I don't see the need. I did think it was annoying that Guru's brother was, like, yelling at him, like, don't leave these lying around about the condoms.
Yeah.
And it's like, he didn't. Your son went and pulled it out from under the pillow of their bed. Like,
yeah.
That's not leaving it lying around.
No, he's snooping. You showed up.
Yeah.
And you came into their house.
You barged in here.
Shouldn't you be happy they're using protection?
Yeah.
Unless...
Well, maybe not.
Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not happy they're using protection. Yeah. That's a whole other story. But anyway, at the urging of Guru's family, Guru and Rashmi then go to tell her father, Vishnu, about the marriage,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't go great.
No.
Yeah. It doesn't look good for his political image for his daughter to have gotten married in secret. Because it's like, well, why was it a secret?
Mm-hmm.
So Vishnu throws a fake wedding for the sake of the media. And as Vishnu is being interviewed, Guru and Rashmi try to actually get married by talking to the priest. Because everyone, I didn't explicitly say this, everyone thinks they're married.
Yes.
Obviously. But the priest for the fake wedding is a fake priest, unfortunately. I think he said he sells, like, street food or something. So that's a bummer. He can't actually marry them.
No.
So they're still not married. And they go through all the post-wedding celebrations. This is so sad.
Yeah.
Because it would be such a special moment and amazing, but they know that they're not actually married.
Right.
So they're both sad about not being married. And
yeah.
So they're not... Yeah.
I know. I was thinking that, too. It's like, this is the kind of thing that you only get to do...
Once.
In theory, once in your life, and
yeah.
to have it, like, kind of taken away from you. Hopefully they, you know, get to celebrate for real.
Yes.
At a future point.
Hopefully. And that's a real bummer that they're sad, because the post-wedding song and dance is very fun.
It is really fun.
Everyone's having a great time after this fake wedding.
Yeah. They don't know.
Well, they do know that it's fake.
Oh, that's true. You're right. They do
because
know
they're
that
like,
it's fake.
They don't know that they're not married, but they do know that it's fake.
That's true.
But I guess they're like, well, now we get to celebrate.
Right. Yeah. They didn't get to before, so they get to now. Yeah.
That's true. And Guru and Rashmi then move into Guru's family's home, and his mom notices that Rashmi is reserved and sad, so she asks her, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
His mom's actually very sweet.
His mom is very sweet.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of hers.
Me too. And she calls Rashmi one in a million, and she says that she couldn't have picked a better bride for her son.
Aww.
Which is very, very sweet. But this all makes Rashmi even sadder, because everything is a lie.
Yeah.
She later tells Guru that she can't continue like this, being treated like a daughter by Guru's parents when she's deceiving them.
Yeah.
She says it's not right, and she begs Guru to do something about it. And Rashmi suggests that they figure out a way to get married secretly.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Take care of it. They'll be married. Awesome.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to say is, like, this wasn't what Rashmi had envisioned for her marriage
no.
either, which I think is really sad. Like, you know, you can see how if things didn't roll out this way, they could have, like, planned to actually, yeah, move to Delhi and do,
yeah.
like, become a reporter the way she wanted to.
That's very true.
And then now she is kind of, like, feeling stuck in this more traditional role that is fine for some people, but is not what she wanted. But at least mom is like, no, you should go to work. Like,
yeah.
get out
yeah.
there, do your thing.
I like that, because, yeah, like, the boys come up with, like, a thing for why she's sad, and they're like, well, she's bad at cooking. And then everyone's like, haha, she'll go to work. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Go to work.
That'd be great.
Very much not like Tujuti Maid Makar.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they just forced her to
be.
That was weird.
It was a little weird.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thinking about that in contrast to this is very interesting. But yes, so Guru then tasks Abbas with going to the temple on the hill and getting things arranged for a secret wedding. This is a great plan, except that Guru's nephew overheard the whole conversation.
Yep.
And he's very enterprising, so he blackmails Guru for a new bike.
Yeah.
Worth 8,000 rupees.
That's a good chunk of change.
That's a lot. Yeah. And Guru and Rashmi show up at the temple the next day to get married, but he has to wear a fake beard so that people won't recognize him, and she has to, like, cover her head with her headscarf because of people potentially recognizing her from the culture protection party, because they're all just hanging out
at this temple. Yeah, they're just always around policing people's actions.
Yes. But they go to this priest. The priest starts to marry them, and they're very happy that it's finally happening. But then Guru goes to put the vermilion on her forehead, and the priest sees that she already has vermilion on her forehead.
Yeah.
That was an oversight. They could have just wiped it off.
Yeah, because, like, they were looking at each other before this started.
Yep, should have thought about that.
Yeah.
And the priest yells that this woman's already married, and they're trying to get him to commit a sin. And he then calls for the culture protection party guys that are just hanging around. So they come over and beat up Guru.
Yeah.
Despite Guru's efforts to talk himself out of it.
Yeah.
Rashmi, like, slips away unnoticed, which ends up being good for her. But Guru's family then shows up, and they're all very upset that he tried to marry someone else. And they're even more upset that the woman he tried to marry was already married.
Yeah. All of that would be pretty upsetting if, like, a few days after your son got married, he tried to marry another married woman.
It's like, what is happening? Which is basically what his family is saying. They're just like, why are you acting this way?
Yeah.
And his family takes him home to continue berating him. There's a whole thing where they now, like, think he's a pervert who just lusts after every woman. Yeah. And Guru's dad then goes to meet with Vishnu, and Vishnu says that he spoke on the phone with Rashmi, and she sounds sad. He asks Guru's dad if anything has happened, and then says that if Guru makes Rashmi unhappy, Vishnu is unhappy, and Guru's family can't survive in Mathura if Vishnu is unhappy.
That's dark.
Yeah, he, like, threatens a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, condones the beating of a lot of people, threatens a lot of people, threatens to, like, float bodies down the river.
He clearly lacks the communication skills to be able to, like, actually talk to people about the things that might be right to do in life, so he just threatens them to do what he wants to do.
Yeah. What a great politician. Yeah. That night, Abbas and Rashmi get into an argument about whose fault all of this is, because things have just snowballed out of control.
They really have.
And Guru is upset because his family won't talk to him because they all think he's a lustful pervert. And he's mad at Rashmi for not pretending to be happy when she talks to her dad. So everyone's just upset.
Yeah.
For various things. But Abbas then has the brilliant idea to just marry them in their bedroom.
Yeah.
So he pulls up the wedding prayers on his phone, and then he lights a small, contained, responsible fire.
Unlike the drunken wine fire.
Yes, this one is, this one's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think it's not great, but it's fine.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. And they start walking around the fire, but of course, Abbas's phone runs out of data before they can complete the 7 circles. So they're still not married.
Nope.
They're trying so hard.
They're trying so hard. And this would have been so sweet if it had worked out.
Yeah. The next day, Rashmi and Guru tell everyone that they're going to her family deity's temple. But Babulal is suspicious, so he follows them. He's such a creep.
He's very creepy, yes.
He's just, like, is always following them or just following women.
Yeah.
Weird.
He should get beaten up by the culture protection party.
Right. Yeah. And this turns into, like, a full-on chase through the city streets until Rashmi asks why they're running when Babulal doesn't actually know anything.
Yeah.
So they stop and they all talk and they convince Babalal to stop chasing them. And he goes to, like, follow a woman.
Yeah.
That he noticed.
He goes just be lecherous somewhere else.
Yep. Gudu and Rashmi then go to an event where multiple couples are being married at once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's gonna happen now.
Yeah.
Abbas is there as, like, a witness and pretends to be Rashmi's brother. And, yeah, and both Rashmi and Gudu's faces are covered by their wedding garb. And it's all going really well until Vishnu walks in. Because
mm-hmm.
he's here to bless all of these couples getting married in Hindu matrimony. And, yeah.
Great.
He approaches them as just a random couple to congratulate them on their wedding. And it all almost falls apart. Because Gudu tries to disguise his voice, but Vishnu kind of is like, okay, I feel like that might be Gudu, but he can't see his face. And then Rashmi has to pretend that she's mute. And then Abbas has to deal with some really horrible anti-Muslim things said by Vishnu.
Yep.
Vishnu then calls Gudu's brother, and the brother confirms that Rashmi and Gudu aren't home, and they are supposedly visiting Rashmi's family's deity.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, they don't have a family deity.
Oops.
Yep. So Vishnu does some reasoning here, and he knows that the man that he spoke with is, in fact, Gudu, and he confronts him. He starts berating him and threatening him for treating Rashmi so horribly that he would marry someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess that would be your assumption. I'm just like, why don't they assume that it's Rashmi?
That's what I was wondering the whole time, too. Especially because, well, I guess Gudu's family doesn't see her. But, I don't know, like, she's a very tall, like, statuesque woman. I feel like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like a dad would maybe, like, recognize his daughter's just, like, silhouette.
Yeah, but who knows?
Although, he doesn't even, like, recognize her voice when she does say something later immediately.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's never actually paid any attention to her.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And then Gudu's family arrives as well, and everyone is yelling at him, and everyone's yelling at Abbas because they still think that this is just a random mute woman who Abbas considers a sister.
Yeah.
But then Rashmi has finally had enough, and she tells them all to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And she reveals her face, and everyone is shocked. I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be either.
I would just be confused. I'd be like, why are you getting married again?
Exactly, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And Gudu and Rashmi finally explain that they've been running around trying to get married, but the families keep getting in the way.
Yep.
They're trying to make things right.
Yeah.
And they can't.
They're trying to not be in a live-in relationship anymore.
Yes. Which they tell Vishnu that they were, in fact, in a live-in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he's appalled because, as he says, such a thing is against their religion. But Gudu and Rashmi say, it's not a religious debate. It is an election hot topic.
Yeah.
Yup. I really like just how blatantly they were like, nope.
Yeah. That's not what this is about for you.
Nope. And then they tell him that the youth actually want live-in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to, like, appeal to the youth, you gotta jump on board with this.
Yep.
This convinces Vishnu, because I do think all he cares about is his political success.
Yeah.
I don't think he had a change of heart. I think he was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And he tells his right-hand guy to tear down all the anti-live-in posters. And then they start up the wedding mantra again, so all these couples can get married. And finally, Gudu and Rashmi are actually married.
Yay!
It's so sweet, too, when they're like, oh my gosh, I'm marrying, like, my love.
Yeah,
oh,
finally!
It's adorable. Vishnu then asks Gudu how to appeal to the younger generation. And we get a scene that 6 months later, Gudu and Rashmi are reporting live from her father's campaign trail, and they've revealed that the actor that he was so against at the beginning of the film is now campaigning for him.
Yeah.
The end. But what I also like about that one moment, too, is that I don't know if it's Rashmi's... I don't think it's Rashmi's mother. Is it?
It,
like,
is, yeah.
It is her mother?
Yeah.
Okay. Who throughout the film has a scarf covering her face completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the film, you can actually see her face.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a nice...
It is
touch
sweet.
Showing that he's getting a little looser.
Yeah, maybe some of the other values that he was enforcing throughout the movie he's softened on.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
Yeah. So that's the end of the actual movie, but mm-hmm. then we get an end credit dance number.
Yeah, that I don't remember ever seeing before.
Me neither, but it's called Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love her first outfit
yeah.
with the pink sparkly bra and, like, super the skirt. Cute. Yes. So cute.
And I also liked all the backup dancers who had, like, the fringe on their shoulders.
Yes. The backup dancer outfits were really amazing.
They were good.
And I also just loved the dance moves. I think Kartik did very well with yeah. them. There was also the backup dancers at one point for her were wearing, like, card dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the outfits first, and I was like, oh, I like those. There were some white women.
Yeah.
We could be that white lady.
We 100% could be.
I feel like it's been a while since we've been that white lady.
But here we are again.
Yes. We're back.
Yeah.
We're back, ladies.
I just noted that this Coca-Cola song could be somewhere put on, like, a very specific soda-based Bollywood number playlist with the Pepsi song from Zoya Factor.
That's true.
And it could just be those two songs.
Yeah.
Unless there are others we don't know about.
I'm trying to think, but I'm really just flashing through all of, like, the in-film ads I've seen all for, like, Coke or Pepsi.
And all the Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Yeah, it was too. Mostly mostly Mountain Dew. Yeah.
Yeah.
But those aren't songs. So, no. Yeah. Yeah, it was a fun bop. I actually think it was, like, well, I don't want to say it was my least favorite song of the film, mm-hmm. but throughout the whole movie I was like, oh, I really love the songs.
Yeah.
Like, there weren't really any that I was, like, going to look up the name of to put in this recap, but I liked the sound of the songs.
Yes.
And then this one I was like,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I feel like I should bop to it, but I don't actually necessarily want to bop to it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the movie.
That's the movie. Overall, a good time.
And I do remember the first time we watched it, it was very much a, whoa, not aware live-in relationships were this much of a
yeah.
hot
a
topic.
Contentious issue.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm happy that we watched it.
Me too. It was a fun time. And again, always fun to revisit these movies that we haven't seen for years and
mm-hmm.
and bring to them the new knowledge that we have gained.
Yes.
Over the last year and a half or so.
Yeah. Speaking of new knowledge.
Yes.
What did you research?
Well, I, of course, researched live-in relationships in
Great.
India.
Great. I feel like we both have known that this yep. is what we would talk about.
Yeah. What if I had researched something else and you were like, this was our chance?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty perfect.
Yes. According to the Lloyd Law College, quote, the live-in relationship concept is not recognized as a legal union in India like some other countries, like here in the U.S., for example.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Supreme Court of India has said that a live-in relationship without tying the knot is not a criminal offense or illegal.
Good.
Yes. Partners living together without marriage do not have the same legal rights as married couples, but they have legal protection under laws.
Okay.
Those protections include the right to maintenance, right of inheritance, of property for children, and children's custody rights. In this last case, children whose parents live together without being legally married are handled in custody cases in the same manner as when the parents are legally married, and the well-being of the child is the primary concern.
Good.
Yes. Also, in 2010, live-in relationships were given official legal recognition to ensure those involved in such relationships were protected under the domestic violence statute.
Also like that.
Yes, very important.
Okay, good.
Still, these legal recognitions and protections have done little to negate the societal stigma against live-in relationships.
Yeah.
Every few years, news stories reignite fears that live-in relationships are immoral or even dangerous.
Hmm.
One such story from 2022 was that of Shraddha Walker, who was brutally murdered by her boyfriend mere days after the couple moved together to Delhi.
Mm.
I'm not going to go into the details of this case.
Yeah.
But her boyfriend said that it was a, quote, heat of the moment murder, a result of arguments about finances and infidelity, unclear whose infidelity.
Okay.
In the wake of this horrific incident, critics blamed the nature of live-in relationships, seeming to claim that if the couple had never moved in together before getting married, this wouldn't have happened.
Okay, well, if you're gonna react violently in the heat of the moment, you're probably gonna do that regardless of your marital status.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have a point in the sense that if these two people didn't live together, then, yeah, right. It probably would have been harder for him to kill her, but
if they were married, Yeah.
It's still, he still would have had that opportunity. Yeah. Yes. And even if he had married someone else,
right,
he still has those violent tendencies. In response to this criticism, Navin Noronha interviewed couples live action relationships.
Ooh, I want a live action relationship.
You have one.
I guess that's true. That's, yeah.
Different from cartoon relationships.
Yeah.
In response to this criticism, Navin Noronha interviewed couples in live-in relationships and reflected on his own live-in relationship. What? I don't know. I'm doing so... I never do this much. I don't know what's... I'm, like, flustered because you're here.
I know. Well, yeah. I'm just looking at you. It's much more intimate.
It is very intimate. Like a live action relationship.
Like a live action relationship. That's true. Very 3D.
Yes. And reflected on his own live-in partnership with his boyfriend, Abhi. Noronha notes in particular how live-in relationships are a haven for queer couples, since same-sex unions are still not recognized by Indian courts.
Mm-hmm.
Heterosexual couples enjoy the opportunity to get to know one another before officially committing to the institution of marriage.
Yeah.
Others noted not wanting to be actively involved in one another's complicated family dynamics, as would be societally required of them after marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Noronha also notes the important chance for quote-unquote adulting afforded by live-in relationships in a society where young people don't often have the chance to practice much independence because they're often living right with their extended families.
Yeah.
But couples wishing to live together before marriage often face roadblocks in finding housing, and many of the couples interviewed by Noronha noted being rejected multiple times before finding a space that would accept them. Oftentimes, they were only accepted because they lied about their marital status. They mentioned how brokers were willing to lie for the couples to earn a commission, which is like what we see in the movie.
Mm-hmm. That's so exploitative.
It really is.
Exploitive?
Exploitative?
Exploitative?
That's how I would say that word.
Yeah, okay. Exploitative. Potatoes. Ooh, okay, yep. Good luck editing around that.
I'll just leave it all in. A live-in blooper.
Yes.
Those who were open about their marital status felt that they then faced added scrutiny from their neighbors, also like what we see in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back around to domestic abuse, Noronha's article points out that a signed marriage license does not make violence any more or less reprehensible.
Yeah.
One of the women he interviewed shared tips for women getting into a first-time live-in relationship, including taking care with finances, paying attention to red flags, always a good choice,
yeah,
and maintaining a supportive community of friends outside of the relationship.
Mm.
So while the Indian Supreme Court has recognized privacy as a fundamental right of all Indian people, thereby protecting their right to live with whoever they want to live with, that hasn't stopped right-leaning states from creating barriers to live-in relationships. In February of this year, 2024, if you're listening in the future, the BJP-ruled state of Uttarakhand passed a law that made registration of live-in relationships mandatory.
Ah.
I know.
That feels weird to me.
It's very weird.
Because, like, we would only do that here if it was, like, the census. Or you were applying for, like, yeah, a civil
union. Like a domestic partnership. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Yeah. According to Al Jazeera, couples who fail to register their live-in status within a month will face potential jail time, fines, or both.
But they've established that... it's not a crime to have a live-in relationship.
But it's a crime to have one and not say that you have one.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know if you know, but I disagree with this.
That's becoming clear to me. This ruling is true even for Uttarakhand registered citizens who are living in other states. So you can't even, like, leave the state to try to live with your partner.
Okay.
Couples also have to notify the government when and if their relationships end.
What?
Yes.
You know what you probably don't want to do after you've broken up with, like, the person you loved enough to want to live with? It's not like, well, okay, I guess I gotta call the government now.
Now, it wasn't clear if there were any repercussions if they, like, delayed on that. So maybe that, you know, you can have some time to process before you have to go to jail if Day you fail to do that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Additionally, if either person in the live-in relationship is under the age of 21, their parent will also be notified of the relationship. So if you think about, like, people who are 20 who are, like, maybe trying to get out of a dangerous situation right. and living with a partner, their parents would just be told this is where they are. And third parties can submit a complaint against a couple that has not registered their relationship. So, yep.
It's just a random neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
God, that's gross.
This law was ostensibly created to reinforce the protections afforded participants in live-in relationships. No. However, critics note that it undermines the very idea of live-in relationships, which are often entered into to avoid legally binding commitments. That's yeah. the whole point.
Yeah.
Oxford professor Nikita Sood observed, quote, "Now the state is stepping deeper into nosy neighborhood uncle-auntie roles sanctioned by the law."
Yeah.
Again, just like we see in the movie.
Yeah.
The law encompasses other restrictions on marital practice and, unsurprisingly, targets Muslim communities in particular. Namrata Mukherjee told Al Jazeera, quote, "While technically a uniform civil code should have standardized provisions of marriage, divorce, and succession for all, irrespective of their religious identity, this law has selectively outlawed and criminalized personal laws and customary practices of religious minorities, especially Muslims."
Mm-hmm.
The law does this without addressing patriarchal provisions in Hindu civil law. That's going a little bit off topic because those provisions that are fairly blatantly anti-Muslim are not specific to live-in relationships, but the law is expected to lead to targeting of those involved in intercaste and interfaith relationships
mm-hmm.
by the ultra-conservative right-wing vigilante groups who would be able to see that they're registered and go after them.
Yep, that's exactly my fear of registering.
Exactly, like, that's why registering is such a creepy concept. Unless, like you said, it's like for the, you know, just trying to figure out how many people live in this place.
Yeah, if it's census data, like, sure. But, yeah. But I mean, that was also how the Holocaust started.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's a creepy thing. So that's the end of my research. I just think it's so interesting. Like, this movie is 5 years old, but
it's still applicable.
Passed this year.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely still a prevalent issue that's being addressed.
And I would be curious to know, too, if similarly to how the U.S. has backslid a little bit,
mm-hmm.
like, I wonder if, like, 5 years ago, things were starting to open up and be a little more hopeful, and then within the last, like, 3 to 4 years, did it slide back a little bit?
Maybe, yeah.
Just based on the rise of more conservative
mm-hmm.
parties and ideals.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would just be interesting to know. Ugh.
I know. I did also think it was interesting. I was, like, reading through the reviews of this movie, like, just on IMDb. Yeah.
It only got, like, a 6 point something.
Yeah, and I noticed at least a handful of, like, low-rated reviews where they were saying, like, well, the director's just pushing his own agenda.
Okay.
Maybe it's just because I agree with the messaging of this movie, but I don't know. It's not, like, that heavy-handed.
No. I mean, I do think it's to make it sound, like, to say it's pro-live-in relationship makes it seem like, I feel like people are making it black and white. That, like, if you're pro-live-in relationship, you're anti-marriage.
Yeah, or anti-Hinduism.
Right, which, nope. No.
Like, you can even be for live-in relationships and, like, have certain kind of, like, sexual morals that you want to, like, enforce for yourself. You shouldn't be trying to enforce those for other people.
No.
But, like, people can live together without having sex.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I'd also be curious to know, like, what the, like, percentage of live-in relationships that go on to marriage.
Yeah.
Because I know, obviously, there are people who exist in the world that marriage is not in the cards for them ever. They just don't want to be married. They might choose a lifetime partner.
Right.
But they may never marry them. But I think still a lot of people do tend to move in with a partner with mm-hmm. the intention of marrying them if things go well.
Absolutely.
So what's wrong with that? It's going to lead to what you want it to lead to.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah. It just might take more time, but hopefully that then means the marriage is more secure.
Right.
And this is where I'll bring up the fact that there have been research studies done in the U.S. that have said that people who live together before marriage are more likely to get divorced than people who don't. But those, that stands on really, really shaky foundations. And there have also been studies that have shown the opposite, that have also been refuted. It's a really difficult thing to figure out because, like, you can live with someone for years.
Right.
And then that person can change.
Yeah.
In the same way that you can have been married to that person for 5 years and they can change.
Right.
Like, that doesn't necessarily mean that that was, that the fact that they lived together first was the reason the divorce happened.
I agree with that. Yeah. I don't want to get married before living together.
I am not.
No, in fact, you were getting married after having lived together.
I am.
Haters gonna hate, Kim.
It's true.
I'm supportive of
but
you.
But I'm just gonna...
Do what's right for you.
Yeah, I'm just gonna shake it off like Taylor Swift. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a really interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we had it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Do you have any Bollywood news?
I do have one little piece of Bollywood news.
Okay, will it be confusing given the timing of everything?
I think it's fine.
Cool.
My news is that The Night Manager was nominated for an International Emmy for Best Drama Series.
Oh yeah, okay, cool. I'm trying to remember if I ever finished it.
I didn't.
I don't know that I did either.
No, it's because they came, it came out in two halves, so it was like the first four episodes and then the second chunk of episodes, and I just never
went
back to the second chunk.
Yeah, and I think I might have actually watched the original, like, English Night Manager.
Yeah.
And then that was when I realized it was a shot-for-shot remake.
It was a very, yeah.
And I was like, I love Aditya and Anil Kapoor.
Yeah.
But... Nah, I've already watched this now.
So it is interesting that it's nominated now for an International Emmy.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it'll win. And I don't know if by the time that this episode comes out, if people will know one way or the other if they have. But I thought that was really interesting when I saw that. But it's also cool, you know, that it was nominated and those people get to be recognized for their work.
Even absolutely.
Even if it's, a fairly derivative piece of work.
Yeah.
Derivative's not even the right word. It is like a copy.
Right. Which makes, I mean, and they did obviously tweak things for it to fit.
The setting.
And, and like the cultural context and all of that, which is interesting to watch, but it doesn't mean I want to spend like 8 to 10 hours watching it.
Yeah.
And maybe a few years from now I'll be like, oh, bring it on.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my Bollywood news.
Love it. You're right. That does apply no matter what time this comes out. Well, pluggables.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, just there.
Just there. We're no more TikTok. It's not for us. That's
no.
That's for the young people.
It's for, yeah, we're too old for TikTok. I tried. I got tired.
We're doing this for ourselves anyway. Who cares? No more TikTok.
If you followed us on TikTok, I hope you enjoyed the content I put out there.
But I did enjoy it.
Thank you.
And it's okay. But so yeah, follow us on Instagram at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. Do what you do. Also, consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can also leave a rating or review. But no matter what you do or don't do, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening.
Indeed. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists. We add our favorite songs from the movies that we watch to those playlists and link them in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Yes, we do. So, next week we are watching Bhootnath.
Yes, back to spooky.
Yes, Bhootnath.
Yeah, and also it's been a while since we watched a Shah Rukh movie.
I know, and I mean, get ready because we're probably going to watch another Shah Rukh movie in honor of his birthday in November.
Of
but
course.
There's, as we all know, there's no such thing as too much Shah Rukh.
There really isn't. And if you disagree, then maybe you should find a different podcast to listen to.
They probably already have by this point.
Okay, so our plot description on IMDb is, moving into a new house, a family witnesses an unfriendly ghost who wants to drive them away from the house. However, he befriends a little boy who changes his outlook forever.
Ooh.
Wow, changing the outlook of a ghost, that's no joke.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
They're set in their ways.
They are very set in their ways. Like, that's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah.
They can't move on.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet the ghost is going to move on at the end of the movie. Although, guys, there's a sequel.
There is a sequel that Amitabh does appear to be in. So yeah, because by
the
way,
the ghost is Amitabh Bachchan. That's a large ghost.
Yeah.
It's also like, we've been really doing a lot of Amitabh, huh?
Yeah.
By a lot, I mean Kalki.
Kalki. And then before that, we were watching all the Doom movies, so it's been a Bachchan family.
Yes, that's very true. Bootknot is available to rent or buy on Amazon Prime. I probably will buy it.
Yeah.
Why not?
You might want to watch it again.
I do like ghost movies, but not scary ones.
No.
Yes, the synopsis on Amazon Prime is Aditya and Anjali move into a new house, the Knot Villa, along with their son, Banku. Soon Banku comes across an unfriendly ghost of the previous occupant and tries to befriend him.
Mm-hmm.
I do love, like, a sweet, happy child.
Yeah.
Befriending a crotchety old man.
I do, too. And if that old man is already dead...
Great.
It's still gonna be just as good.
And then we have Shah Rukh.
Yeah.
In what appears to be a deeply, like, opened shirt.
Yes.
Which is always good.
Always a good time. And Juhi Chawla.
Oh my god, I didn't realize that was her. I'm extra excited now. Great, yeah. This is going to be awesome.
It is going to be fun.
So, awesome. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it, enjoy, get into the spooky season.
You deserve it.
Yes, and until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
Yeah, and sometimes we need our friends' help to secretly get married.
Yeah. Supportive friends are the key to life.
They really are. And the key to a happy marriage.
And the key to a happy marriage. Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you heard it here first, folks. Get out there. I don't
know. Be safe.
Be safe.
Be safe. Be married.